This is Branch FM and I'm speaking to Mark Kelly from City Church Leeds. So Mark, could you tell us a bit about City Church Leeds, about who you are and what you do?
Well, City Church Leeds has been around in Leeds since 1981. And it was a church that was birthed out of Bradford. We've gone through many various sizes. We've been hundreds, we've been tens. Over the years, we've been a nomadic church, going from place to place, meeting in various different places, Leeds Town Hall, colleges, things like that. We are I guess what you would describe as a charismatic church, although we like to describe ourselves as non-denominational, but I guess that's a description in and of itself anyway. But what we essentially we are is we're a church that believes that the gifts of the Spirit are evident and we can use them and experience them by His grace. So yeah, and we presently reside in Headingley as a church community. And probably about 70 to 100 folks who are a part of the fellowship. And we're very much a family fellowship, so we're neither student-focused nor young adult-focused or whatever. But we like to, again, describe ourselves as kind of multi-generational, so tri-generational, young, middle-aged, and not so middle-aged. It's a wonderful, wonderful community to be a part of. We're very much tied into what's happening around the city. In fact, a lot of our focus is not to look in and of ourselves and see how we can grow and what have you, but actually how can we add to what is already happening in the city in terms of the other Christian communities and the other churches that exist there.
Could you tell us a bit about the encounter gatherings that you are having at the moment?
Yeah, well, it's probably best to just go right to the beginning of what happened there and why we started them. You probably heard about the Cumbrain, I believe you pronounce it Cumbrain, so anybody Welsh speakers out there, you'll have to forgive me. The Welsh outpouring, let's call it that for the sake of simplicity, that's happening in Cumbrain. And I've got a friend of mine who meets in Runcorn, Hope Corner Community Church. He pastors. And he, I believe he went and visited there, and then he got a phone call a number of weeks later by the pastor that is part of that church there in Wales. And he encouraged him to basically open their church doors every evening and just invite people to come in and worship and pray, all sorts of different stuff. And just, you know, no agenda is basically what I'm trying to say. There was nothing, unless it was completely heretical, was off the table. Just come in, worship together, pray together and see what happens. Let the Holy Spirit move. So they did that for a couple of weeks. And at the end of the second week, I was prompted just to go visit, and so I got my wife and the kids in the car. We travelled an hour or so over to Runcorn, which is near Liverpool, and we just really enjoyed meeting those guys, being part of what was happening there. And towards the end of the evening, Daryl, who is the gentleman's name, he just asked us to get up and, you know, say, well, is there anything that we can pray for Leeds? And so firstly I said, well, let me pray for you guys, because I think this is amazing what's happening. And then what do you need prayer for? And as we were going through that process, Daryl just kind of looked at me in the eye and he said, I've just got a word from God for you. And it's, take this, what is happening here, back to Leeds. This no agenda, Holy Spirit moving, and just see what happens. Just open your doors. So what can you do when God speaks so directly to you through somebody whom you respect and you honour and you clearly believe can hear from God? So that was on a Friday. So I took a day just to kind of pray and think about it and chat it through with my wife. And by the time Sunday came, I was convinced that we needed to take him up on that challenge. So Sunday morning, I said to the congregation, we're going to begin these evenings together, these Holy Spirit-filled evenings with no agenda. And we'll see what happens. Now, the curious thing was, that was the end of May, and it was the bank holiday Monday the day after. So if you're going to start something, don't do several things, and that is, don't give people incredibly short notice that you're going to begin. Don't do it on a bank holiday Monday, and don't do it when, particularly if you're living in a student-filled area like we kind of meet and fellowship in, where there's not going to be many people around. However, so those are the bad things, why you don't do that. However, come Monday night, we had between 70 to 100 people just gathering within our building. Basically, I'd shared it on Facebook, I'd shared it on Twitter, I'd put it on our Facebook page. And this idea that we were doing this just spread like wildfire throughout the city. And I know that the Christian Union in the university kind of picked up on it quite quickly. It just exploded. And so we had between 70 to 100 people there. Not all of them were believers. They had obviously been invited by their friends who were believers. And it was an absolutely amazing evening. God really moved. He did stuff. We just worshipped together, prayed together. And then we continued that for just 2 weeks flat. So every evening, apart from Saturday and Sunday, Monday to Friday, we met every evening. We used live musicians. We used recorded music. I discovered a funky little app called Icing Worship, which I'm sure they won't mind me recommending on the radio and giving them a bit of plug. But we used that, but we just let the evenings just be completely free. And what we found over the 2 weeks was that people came to know Jesus. So there was a number of salvations, not hundreds, not tens, but you know, a number of salvations. And do you know what? I'd do it all again just for one person, just to come to know Jesus. And that was amazing. We saw some healings again, nothing so dramatic as limbs growing back, but people's kind of eye problems disappearing, headaches going back, problems being sorted out. And that was phenomenal, a real move of the Spirit. And to be part of that is such a huge privilege. It got to the end of the 2 weeks, and I just felt God just say to me, "Do you know, just pause, just for a week, and just reassess kind of how you're going to, you know, together with me, how are you going to work this through?" So we came to the conclusion that, because we didn't want to burn people out. I mean, if you do these things constantly, unless you've got a huge congregation and a huge support, it's pretty hard to keep those things going. People get tired. People need a break. So we've come now to the what we're doing now is that we're every Friday evening, again, we just meet at our building, and it's totally open to anybody who wants to come. We just happen to own a building and have a passion to see the Holy Spirit move. And what's been amazing about it is, again, apart from, you know, there's fantastic salvations, you know, when somebody comes to know Jesus, it's an absolute celebration. You know, as much as an exciting as that is seeing the church coming together and leaders of different, you know, streams and denominations across city coming and taking part, people who are part of those congregations coming and talking with each other, praying with each other, regardless of their theological standpoints. You know, I think we've kind of got to a place where some of these theological things are secondary, and they're nothing to get upset and argue about, you know, agree to disagree with those things. As long as the fundamentals are in place, you know, like Jesus is God, he is the Son of God, he died, he rose again. As long as we kind of agree those kind of things, then we can work together and we can do stuff together as Christians. And that's what's happening across the city. And what we're doing in the encounter gatherings, that's just a small part of something throughout Leeds, which is saying, you know, God is bringing his church together, capital C, and they're beginning to work together. And so the sense of unity, the sense of wanting to do stuff together, and these encounter gatherings are a little part of that. I guess I should also say that what these encounter gatherings have morphed into from that initial amazing, you know, people just coming in their droves every evening for those first 2 weeks. It's kind of settled down now, but it's settled down into something where we're actually taking the encounter gatherings as opportunities for people to be in a safe place where if they've never prayed public before, they can pray. If they've never prayed for healing for somebody, you know, they can pray for that healing. And if it happens, we celebrate, and it's amazing. And so it's kind of almost like it's become like a practice place where people can come in and work on the gifts of the Spirit and be free and secure to do that. So we're not getting so many non-saved people coming in at the moment, although that could happen again. You know, we have very little agendas to what happens on these evenings. I kind of guide it, but I don't lay too heavy a hand on it, so I don't try and push it in any direction. We do let the Holy Spirit do his thing. So who knows what may happen over the next few months. You know, again, we suddenly just might start seeing people coming in. And, you know, it'd be amazing to see more people just get to know Jesus and have a relationship with him.
So how did you become a Christian and the story behind it?
Okay, well, my becoming a Christian is tied very much into getting married. I was working in a coffee shop in Leeds, maybe I should even go back further than that. Actually, throughout my kind of childhood, my teens, my early 20s, etc., I'd always had a belief that there was something more. I was just never quite sure what that something more was. You know, as I grew up, I had lots of various, in quotes, holy books on my bookshelf, you know, the Bible being one of them, but I also have the Quran and what have you, and a number of other spiritual guides. And I would read through these things, not understand most of those things, but I would do my best. And in fact, for a long time, I actually was part of a spiritualist church where I used to live in South Leeds. And I did that for a few years. And that was, I don't know how the spiritualist church kind of works now, you know, a number of years on, but I remember being part of that community, and they were Jesus-loving, God-fearing people. But I guess maybe some would say that, and I would be inclined to agree that maybe they were a little bit off in how they did things. They might have gone a bit skewed. But, you know, I found life there, and it kept me thinking, well, there's something more. There's something beyond this kind of ordinary life that we're living here. I mean, I subsequently left the spiritualist church and carried on my own sweet way, as we tend to do these days. You know, what's good for you is good for you, and what's good for me is good for me. And so I found myself working in this coffee shop, living a wonderful life, you know, single, living with a friend in Leeds, having a great time. And I managed this coffee shop for a number of years. And while I was there, we used to get our Italian newspapers from Borders, which worked not too, you know, it was not too far down the road from where my coffee shop was in the centre of Leeds. And in Borders, the lady that sorted out our magazines and our newspapers for us was my future wife, a lady called Kathy. And I knew she was a Christian, and I'd got some of my friends who I knew that worked in Borders to hook me up with her. And eventually, you know, I managed to pluck up the courage to kind of ask her out on a date. And so we did. And we went out on a couple of dates. And we talked about things of her faith. You know, what was it? What was she a part of? How were things? And you know what? And I think this is beautiful. You know, God celebrates every salvation, regardless whether it's dramatic or not. You know, I wasn't into drugs. I wasn't a heavy drinker. I wasn't, you know, anything that we would consider, you know, really bad. I was just an ordinary guy. Still am an ordinary guy, but an ordinary guy has a relationship with Jesus now. And just a number of weeks, a number of months, just being with Kathy, you know, becoming more involved in that way, I just learned more about the Christian faith. And I remember specifically one weekend she was ill. And I'd started going to, in fact, City Church Leeds. So I've been born into City Church Leeds, which is the church that I'm now part of the leadership team of. And I remember she was ill one weekend, and I said, well, do you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to go to this meeting on my own. And I guess a little bit part of me was going, I want to dispel anybody who thinks I'm just being part of this because I want to get to know Kathy a little bit more. I want to kind of show people that, you know, I'm really asking questions. So maybe that was the wrong attitude to go in, but that's maybe the attitude that I went with. And that morning, I can't really remember much. I can't remember what the preached word was. I can't remember how the worship went. But what I do remember is this. There was a call towards the end of the service for anybody who didn't yet know Jesus to stand up on their feet, and that somebody would come and pray for them. And before I knew it, I was on my feet. I was at the back of the hall. I'd stayed at the back of the hall the whole morning, tried to keep myself in the shadows and not too noticeable. But when that call came, I stood up. And you know that moment when you kind of go, I've stood up and people are looking at me, I can't sit back down now? Well, that's the moment that I was in, and it was a little bit embarrassing. And so I thought, well, I can't sit down now because I'd just look really, really odd to people. The next thing I knew, I saw this gentleman walking towards me. I thought, he's going to pray for me. Okay, all right, I can do this. I can listen to it, and then I'll sit back down and it'll all be fine, and, you know, I can go. And he came, and I moved into the aisle, and he laid his hands on me, and he started to pray. Very gentle man, a very gentle soul. And then he started to cry, just almost uncontrollably. And then I started to cry. And I'm thinking, what am I doing crying? This is ridiculous. Now, little did I know then that was the Holy Spirit beginning to impact me, beginning to turn my heart towards him, doing some stuff. And before I knew it, I'd said a prayer. And I'd essentially asked Jesus into my heart. I can't even really remember the prayer, but I know that essentially I'd asked Jesus into my heart. And then I went back to Kathy's house. And she just said, something's happened, hasn't it? Something has changed within you. And I said, yeah, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. And needless to say, she was overjoyed. I was ecstatic, if not confused. And that was it, you know. And God has just called me, you know, into leadership of this church of which I was born into. And it's been a wonderful and amazing journey, but it's been a gentle journey. And like I say, I think I probably represent maybe the detail of how I came to Christ and I'm meeting somebody and getting married isn't what everybody does, but the bigger picture is I probably represent that more common journey into salvation, which isn't an amazing transformation from being saved from drugs or alcohol or anything like that. But most people just get to a point in their lives and they go, do you know what? There's more to this. And I kind of understand what that is now. I understand that it's this person, Jesus, and I'm going to accept him into my heart. And I think most people probably go on the same journey.
Could you share with us a Bible verse or verses that you've been looking at the moment?
I'd love to. The passage that has just been speaking to me a lot over the last few weeks is 2 Timothy 3:16. And in fact, when I was looking it up again this morning, because I knew you were going to ask me that question, I just wondered what some other translations said about it. And I got to the Message, and actually, I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm just going to read from around verse 15. I mean, the Message is, it puts things in a strange way. It clumps verses together, so you can never quite sure where the verse begins. But would you mind if I read that out to you? There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another. And that's the beginning of verse 3:16. One way or another. Showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. And I guess your next question is why? Why that particular verse? Because I think, particularly coming from a kind of a charismatic background, we not get carried away, but we focus in a lot on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and having experiences of the Spirit. And I think we've just got to be careful that we keep that tied into the Word of God. It's Word and Spirit together that can bring us to maturity and the fullness of Christ. And I guess why this is speaking to me is just I'm just prompted just to encourage all those believers, all those Christians out there that, if, you know, don't think they have time or maybe don't make time to read the word. It's great to pray and it's great to experience the Holy Spirit, but we need to earth that with the word. You know, if you just take the word on its own without the Spirit, it's dry and it's meaningless. And it's the same if you take the Spirit without the word, it can take you into places that may become odd and peculiar, and it can become all about feelings and inward looking. If you take the Spirit and the word together, that's when it's powerful. That's when it begins to speak to you. In this particular verse here, Paul's talking to Timothy, and the scriptures he was referring to are the Jewish scriptures, because obviously the New Testament hadn't been kind of written down at this point. But he's saying to him, all scripture is God-breathed. And if all scripture is God-breathed, then it's all about. And in fact, I'll read it here. It says, there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And he's saying to Timothy, even though Timothy may not have even realized the kind of thing he was saying, but that Jesus Christ is all the way through the Old Testament. That the, you know, everything about the Old Testament and the New Testament is just, it's pointing the way to Jesus. It's pointing us to Jesus. And I love that. You know, so when we read the word, we can encounter Jesus. You know, and I love it, and I'm inspired by that, and just I'm desperate for people just to fall in love once again with the Bible, and to read His Word, and to give it the honour and the respect that it deserves.
So you've chosen the song Back to the Start by Martin Smith. Why that particular song?
Do you know what? On a very simple level, because it's so much fun. You know, by the end of the song, You want to be jumping up and down. You want to be shouting out loud. You want to be clapping. And in fact, if you watch the video, by the end of the song, you know, the last kind of minute or so of the song, it's a long song. It's 6.5 minutes long. But by the end of the video, he's on a car park somewhere on top of some building, and there's hundreds of people there just jumping up and down, dancing. And so on its simplistic level, it just makes me feel really good. But on another level, if you listen to the words, it's called Back to the Start, and it's about, I guess maybe in a loose sense, it's about, you know, the prodigal son. It's about coming back to Jesus, coming back to the Father, and that when that happens, He will greet you with open arms and with joy. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment. He's just so glad that you've come back to Him. And because it starts off, the song starts off quite it may even sound quite melancholy. I mean, the words aren't melancholy, but it could sound that, and it goes from this kind of this softness, this almost introspective sound in music, and just then through the 6 minutes that you're listening to, it goes from that and just turns, somehow it just turns into this party. And I think we can look at God, particularly if we're too legalistic, and if we're too, you know, if we think the Bible is just a list of do's and don'ts, we can look at it, again, and maybe I'll use the word again, as dry, too limiting. Well, actually, you know, if we begin to encounter God in a real way, in a way that's full with joy, it's a huge release. And he just wants to have a party with us. And so for various reasons, but maybe those are some of my main ones. That's why I really love this song.
Right, thank you very much, Mark.
Wonderful, wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
That was Mark Kelly from City Church Leeds, and here's Back to the Start by Martin Smith.